Coming up, we're going to tell you how to keep cool at Universal Orlando this summer. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of The Diz Unplugged. This is episode 127 of The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Universal vacation. Please visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, as always, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by my one and only co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello, nice to see you again.
Hello.
Hello. La la la, la la. Wow, so you having a good week, Rhino?
Just getting started.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yes, it is just getting started. We are right smack dab in the middle of what most people would call a weekday, so I'm not going to say which one it is. This is, according to you, this all, it's Thursday, but for us, it is whatever day we say it is. But because of that, I actually don't have any big, breaking, solid Universal news to deliver to you today, which I feel terrible about. I mean, I know that's why everyone comes to this show, is because they want to know what is actually happening at Universal. What is the big to do? And yeah, the answer is nothing happened. We were hoping that after last week's really fun episode about where we talked about our breakfast at Island's dining room, and then also we kind of blue skied The Shining. We were really hoping that there would be an announcement for The Shining. Yeah. That never happened. So that's starting to make me think that was all fake.
Bummer. It's a bummer.
It is a bummer. But, that's fool us once, shame on us. Fool us twice, shame on us. I don't know how that works. But, regardless, still no announcement on that, which is a shame. But we will be the first to let you know when we do have an official announcement on that. And, yeah, so basically today what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time talking to you about 10 ways that you will be able to cool down at Universal Orlando this summer. So,
it's hot.
Yes, it is. It's going to be very hot. I mean, we're talking this week.
Gee, it's already like 98 degrees on Thursday.
I know.
Not 98 degrees and rising. It's not Nick Lachey.
Yep.
It's not nearly as fun.
Or Drew. But
or Drew. Well, whatever.
Yeah. No, it is already starting to get extremely hot out there. Just unbearably hot. We went just in this week alone in Orlando, we went from having a record low one night where and then
it was wonderful too.
Yeah, no,
wonderful.
It was a nice way to kind of like end our spring and get us thrown into summer, even though summer doesn't even start for another month and a half or so. But no, things are already looking up to be extremely hot and extremely unbearable here in Florida. So we figured, why not start prepping you if you're coming down this summer, which I know many of our friends and listeners are. Let's start talking about ways that you can keep cool when you're either in the parks or just around Universal Orlando Resort. And so without further ado, let's kick off this list, 10 ways to stay cool at Universal Orlando this summer. And number 10, I can't believe this is actually coming out of my mouth. I mean, I can for the reason it is, but also I can't because of my hatred for it. But I've got to start with number 10. The queue for Fallon Ride.
I like the queue a lot.
Yeah.
You're not going in on the ride.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I guess you can go on the ride if you want, but I think we would be remiss without saying that. I don't know if that's the proper use of that phrase, but we almost have to add in the queue for Fallon Ride. It's one of the things that we've said kind of going through our progression of dealing with Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon. You know, it started with us getting to experience the ride and admitting that the queue is really awesome.
Yeah.
It is very well done. The ride, not so much. But then finding out all those little details about how, like, the benches where you're able to sit, the couches, how they all have USB ports that are mm-hmm. functioning, so that way you can sit in there and charge your phone. And then, you know, on the first floor, you want to walk about down there. You have the beautiful museum to all of the hosts of the Tonight Show, from Steve Allen to Jack Parr, Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien, Jimmy Fallon himself. You have all of that to kind of go and explore. And then once you're up there, you know, you have the entertainment. You have the rotation between what's going to happen with the ragtime gals, trying to sneak a glance with hashtag the panda, along with playing all of the games that they have right there in front of you on the little Tonight Show desks that are.
So you can send postcard, digital postcard to there too, right?
Yeah, you absolutely can do that. You can send the digital postcards, which they call thank you notes, if you're a fan of the one and only Jimmy Fallon and the Tonight Show. So they do have. They have that way that you can send the thank you note, which, you know, if you remember from when we covered that, we went in and we found the thank you note that had the picture of Bill Paxton mm-hmm. all drenched in water, which actually is very fitting. That's a perfect thank you note to send while you're cooling off in the queue mm-hmm. for Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon. But yeah, despite the ride itself, I mean, I guess you can go on the attraction while you're there, since you're already wasting your time with that. You might as well just go in and do that. But definitely our number ton way this summer to stay cool is go sit in the queue for Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon. Just hang out in there while it's cool, air conditioned, lots of activities going on, lots of things to do. It is really worth your time. So moving on to number 9 in our list. Rhino, do you know what number 9 is?
I don't remember the order of the list. I'm going to say number 9 is a water ride.
No, it's not. It's not.
Is it indoors?
It is indoors.
Does it involve balls?
Oh, yeah. It involves balls.
I think it's bowling.
Yes. Our number 9 is going over to Cabana Bay Beach Resort and go bowling at Galaxy Bowl. So for many of you out there, you may have heard us rave about Galaxy Bowl from time to time on the show. Specifically, we kind of say it as a way to when, you know, you have a rainy day at Universal. You don't really want to go out into the parks. Don't know what to do. Why not head over to Cabana Bay and go bowling? Yes, it is a little bit on the expensive side to bowl there. You know, you can go to your normal lane anywhere else at home a lot cheaper. It's kind of on the level of Splitsville over at Disney Springs for those of you who may have bowled over there before, but it is something that is just a great way to pass the time, especially on a longer vacation.
Well, and what I love is, like, they'll serve you food there. You can get drinks there. So you can really make a fun little day out of it. Like, we did that, for that when I first started, we had a bowling, and Pete and we had lunch there, and it was good.
Yeah. No,
I remember enjoying it quite a bit.
Exactly. It's beyond just a way to beat the heat for as long as it takes you to bowl, you know, an hour or so for your group. It is a way to make a full experience out of it. Go grab some food and then get to experience the bowling alley. Really, really have a good time with that. I know it's not an exciting way to spend your vacation, but you know, I also don't know. I grew up in a place that had a lot of bowling alleys all over the place. I know you guys up in Massachusetts, you play your stupid little pin bowling.
Hey, shut up. We like those little balls. You can hold them in your hand and you can throw them a lot harder.
What do they call it? Candlestick bowling?
Candle pin bowling.
I've only been once, and I really enjoyed it.
It makes you feel like a giant when you're able to hold the big ball and you can throw it really hard. And you're like, yeah. Like, I don't know. There's something a little more rewarding for me, but It's not as common around here. Not as common.
I think the skill level is far less in candlepin bowling than it is in regular bowling. But yeah, you know, I don't know how far bowling stretches beyond. I don't know if all those English tourists that come over from Great Britain and stuff. I don't know if you have bowling over there.
I have never thought about that before. Is that an American sport?
I'm not sure if it's an American sport, it feels very American.
I'm gonna ask Siri.
Because you think about it in this way. Bowling is beer, greasy food, and I picture John Goodman basically throwing balls at an alley, like in Big Lebowski.
Egypt
has a bowling team?
A British anthropologist discovered in the 1930s a collection of objects in a child's grave in Egypt that appeared to him to be used for a crude form of bowling. Weird.
That is very weird.
I just didn't know. I don't know. It's just a weird train of thought now where I'm like, the sport is played in more than 90 countries worldwide. So, wow.
I mean, that really just took me by surprise. I did not figure it was that stretched out over the world. But regardless, we think that is a fun way for you to spend your day if you're starting to get all hot and bothered when you are at Universal Orlando. So I know this next one is really going to hit your sweet tooth, Rhino.
Ice cream.
No, you're absolutely right. Our number 8 way to stay cool at Universal Orlando is going to come courtesy of our favorite ice cream shop that you can find at Universal Orlando, and that is Florian Fortescue's Ice Cream Parlor.
Florian. This is one of those things in Harry Potter, like, I hate the name of this ice cream place. I think it's perfectly named. I just can't spell it, and I never... So I'm always just like, the ice cream place in Diagon Alley.
No, that's fine. Illiteracy affects many of us throughout the day, but yes, you're exactly right. Florian Fortescue's is at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Diagon Alley, all the way in the back in Diagon Alley, and it is absolutely one of the busiest parts of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in general.
Ice cream when you go there, you've done yourself a disservice. Yep. I think it's on the level of a must-have treat like butterbeer. Like, I understand butterbeer's in the book. Well, so isn't this ice cream. But this ice cream is probably the best ice cream I've ever had.
Yeah, no, it is very unique flavors. This place is always busy. Unless you are, like, first thing in the morning, once you go into the afternoon throughout the day, it will always have a line. And thankfully, the lines have gone down a little bit since the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Diagon Alley first opened up. But, I mean, this place was just always, always, always jam-packed. It was really tough to get in there and try to get ice cream and always being turned away because of how long the line is. So let's talk about some of the flavors that you can get here, though. So for the soft serve, you have the option of banana, chocolate, Granny Smith, mint, pistachio. Vanilla.
Pistachio.
Orange marmalade, toffee apple, strawberries and cream, and, of course, butter beer ice cream.
You know, other than the butter beer, I don't think I've ever had the soft serve ice cream. I just like the hard packed ice cream so much that it's every time I go in there, I'm like, okay, you're gonna try this. But
yeah,
I just, one of the flavors in the hard packed ice cream is just too good to give up.
Well, that's the thing. I remember going for the first preview event that we were at, and
they let you try them all.
That was the option. That was the option that you could try them all. And it's like, okay, well, got to do butter beer. And then and then your eyes go from there. You're like, okay, well, you know, a lot of these things are more normal flavors. So I'm going to go towards the hard ice cream.
Yeah.
And then once you go, I had to stop myself there. I was about to say like a really dirty phrase, but
you did just say hard ice cream. So
once you go hard, you can't ever go soft again. In terms of the ice cream,
I assume you're going to edit this out.
No. And so let's talk about those hard ice cream flavors. You have one of my favorites, if not my favorite on the list, the chocolate chili, the apple crumble, The salted caramel blondie.
The salted caramel blondie. That one's my favorite.
That one is very good, too. The clotted cream. The Earl Grey and lavender. Sticky toffee pudding. Chocolate and raspberry. And then the one that started all is strawberry and peanut butter. I don't know if you remember. They used to sell like a small cup.
I remember.
And, yeah.
It was good. Yeah, and it was an exclusive flavor to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, apparently. Made by like Ben and Jerry's, right?
I want to say it was something like that. And
when it was in the cup, it was Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, and they served it in Hogsmeade, and that was the only way to get this Harry Potter ice cream was back then. And little did we know, it was just kind of paving the way for Florian and Fortescue's to be added with Diagon Alley. Of course, as Rhino said, he loves the salted caramel blondie.
Yeah, I say caramel.
You still do. And I love the chocolate chili. I've raved about the Earl Grey and lavender before, too. Mm. It is fantastic. And now one of the weird parts with this is...
I like the apple crumble myself.
Yeah, it's good. Well, and that kind of leads me to my next one is, you know, one of the things you are able to do is you are able to get more than one flavor together.
I always do that.
Yeah. So,
and you tell them which one you want to wear because you ended on that last flavor. I always put the salted caramel blondie on the bottom.
Yeah. Don't put the Earl Grey and lavender on the bottom because all the flavor is going to pour in and really ruin that flavor. You want something that's going to be stand out at the bottom of it. But it is absolutely the best place to get ice cream on Universal Orlando property. Potentially even my favorite ice cream still in Florida.
I'm telling you, I think it's my favorite. It's just really good.
Yep.
Although now I guess there's ice cream chains here like Menchie's and stuff like that. But that's Froyo.
Yeah.
Yo. So
no, I've never gone to Florian Fortescue's and said, you know what, I regret this purchase.
Right. Yeah.
I've never had that feeling.
People are like, oh, the value for what you're getting, I'm like, nah, it's delicious. And I would honestly, well, I don't want Universal to hear me say it, but I'll always pay for that ice cream.
I would pay more too. Yeah. I know that's where you were thinking, but let's talk about number six on our list, I believe. It is something that was heavily criticized when it came out. Number seven.
What?
Number seven on our list is the milkshakes at Toothsome Chocolate Emporium in Savory Feast Kitchen.
Another ice cream related thing.
Yes, and so you just heard me mention, you know, it was criticized when they first released the prices for these because, you know, these are $12 milkshakes.
Yeah.
Definitely on the expensive side. Not only did they look expensive on paper, but then you get them to the table, and while I think there are some flavors that stand out better than others, it is an expensive item for sure. But with flavors like salted dulce de leche, the marshmallow crisp, the bacon brittle one that I had the time we were there, the key lime, the cinnamon fantasy, they don't do that one anymore. Mm-mm. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Weird, right? That they would take the Cinnamon Toast Crunch one off the menu?
But that was one of the better ones.
That's one of the ones I had. I was like, oh, great. So I'm going to have to try more of them again now. That's like the three or four I've had. Is one of them was the Cinnamon Toast Crunch one.
That's disappointing.
I learned that in my recent dining experience there, yes.
That's that. Now, I actually, part of it, too, is since it's opened up, I had milkshakes at the grand opening, and then the couple times I popped in, I haven't even had milkshakes there anymore. The milkshakes are almost too much.
Yeah. They're shareable, for sure. Yeah. Like, it's not a one-person milkshake. I mean, if you're getting it, I'm not judging you. Because it is, I do want to say, like, as opposed to, when I think of a milkshake, I think of, like, really thick, like, the McDonald's one that collapses the straw, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are much lighter, and they don't weigh you down as much as you. I don't know what it is, if it's the type of milk that's in it, or if just by the time it gets to the tables, it's a little more liquid than you're expecting, but they're not quite as heavy as they appear to be.
Yeah, but the reason why these milkshakes, despite the issues with them, why this comes on our list is because they are actually pretty accessible to get in terms of You don't have to go and actually dine at the restaurant in order to get the milkshakes. They have the bar that is right when you walk in the door on the left side where you can order your milkshakes and have them there. Nice little patios on the outside of the building where you can sit and enjoy it. A little bit of space on the inside where you can also hang out and relax. But yeah, but Twosome, you know, it's been around a while now, so us locals are used to it. I know a lot of people from out of town still haven't really had the chance to fully experience the amazingness that is the Twosome Chocolate Emporium yet, but it's an absolute great addition, and I have a feeling it will be very popular this summer, because this will be the first full summer that it's been in operation.
Oh, yeah, so I'm sure those lines are going to be insane.
Yeah, no, I, you know, something about being hot outside, even though like a milkshake is always a terrible choice. It's very Ron Burgundy. Milk was a bad choice. Milkshakes are also a bad choice, but they do just kind of take off the edge a little bit. So that is our number seven. Number six, before we crack that top five, number six actually came courtesy of Mr. Rhino Clavin, which he pointed it out, and I kind of forgot about it, but Rhino, do you remember what I'm talking about?
No.
No, well, when we were talking about the best ways to cool down, he said Curious George. And
oh, yeah,
Well, and that leads to the bigger one of just splash zones in general, because there are quite a lot of them around Universal properties. So you mentioned Curious George.
Uh-huh.
What happens at Curious George?
There's water shooting out of everywhere there. I mean, it's like this city or townscape looking thing. I don't know how to describe it. Like a little town, a little village. And it's just like water's filling up. You know those things where like water fills up the bucket and then the bucket tips over and it falls on the innocent bystanders below? A lot of that. A lot of that business. Yeah. A lot of shooting water out there. So you can pretty much go through there and just get all splashed up.
Yeah, you absolutely can. And that is just one of a couple. Over in Islands of Adventure, they have they have If I Ran the Zoo. That is the play area inside of Seuss Landing. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. See, a lot of these are tough for us. This is more of a way for your kids to keep cool while you're at Universal, because as an adult walking into these places, it's a little bit weird to go play in these splash zones. But you know what? Stranger things have happened out there. So you have If I Ran the Zoo in the Seuss Landing section, over in the Jurassic Park area. You know, there's plenty of places.
Yeah, you get shot with a pterodactyl gun or whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah, you have that. I'll just say Toon Lagoon as a whole. We'll get to the attractions that are over there. But just walking around Toon Lagoon, water is literally spraying from everywhere, and you will see random tourists just like putting their whole head in the middle of like a fire hydrant that's shooting water out. You have that option if you really want to go there. There are lots of places all around the parks where you can just find a way to briefly cool down for a little bit like that. There's plenty around, and again, more or less for children than adults. The one thing that adults can do if they want to kind of indulge on this, over in Fievel's Playland, they do have the water slide that you're able to go down, and I mean, you're not going to get soaked or anything, but it is a way to, like, you know, bring out the inner kid inside you. So that is also an option if you choose to do it. And with that, we will move into our top five list. And the first one, Rhino, if I had to tell you which pool would you want to go to at Universal Orlando, what would you choose?
The one at Cabana Bay.
Hmm.
The diner, the liner, I don't know what it's called. I don't know the names of the pools.
I think you're like talking about the Bayliner Diner, and you're also adding it into a pool theme.
Yeah.
And, I mean, bully to you for trying to mix food and the pool together, even though you should wait 30 minutes in between the two. But I guess the grander point is our number five is pool hopping, because if you're staying at a Lowe's hotel, you don't have to choose which pool you actually want to stay at. You can go and experience any of them. And, you know, it, obviously...
The Hard Rock one's pretty good, too.
Yeah, there are some good and bad ways to do this. Please do not try to just walk naked through City Walk, going from one pool to another. Use transportation and shuttles and, you know, cover up as much as possible. But each of the pools at the Lowe's hotels are unique and have their little special twists about them. You know, Rhino just mentioned Hard Rock. It's a very busy pool at the Hard Rock Hotel all the time. It's usually very noisy, a little bit on the congested side. But one of the cool aspects of that pool is the underwater music system that they have. That really just helps sell the music vibe of the entire area. And they have their great pool bar right off to the side that I can't think of the name of it, but we always seem to end up there. So that's Hard Rock is very highly recommended. Over at Lowe's Portofino Bay, they have a quiet pool and then they have main pool. Their main pool, I absolutely love it. It's got all the ruins around.
See, I like the quiet pool. It's like big and elegant. It's got all the trees.
It's got a bocce ball right next to it.
It has bocce.
Bocce. But, you know, there's multiple options there. And I just love the relaxing vibe of that over at Portofino and the extra comfy chairs. I as much as I hate swimming, I have gone in the pool at Portofino Bay before. And it shocks me to admit that. Then, you know, we've been hard on the past over at Royal Pacific because their pool, it lacks a lot of fun theming to it, more for kids than adults. But, you know, it's just kind of a big pool with a noisy mess to it. Sapphire Falls has the biggest pool of all of them on property. It's massive. It has a lot of that same vibe that you get from the Portofino Bay one, but just a great relaxing area to be out there too. And then, as Rhino started off mentioning, Cabana Bay has two separate pools in the two different courtyards, and you really can't go wrong with either. So the one at the Cabana Courtyard, you know, you have the big giant diving tower that kind of just
that's like the one I
sets
like.
The scene, and it really gives you that late 50s vibe. But then over at the other pool, you have the lazy river all around that area.
It's got a nice pool bar at both of them, too.
Yeah, no, it's...
like a cool... Like the one at the one with the lazy river has got the cool, like... I forget what it's called. Oh, my gosh. I forget all the names. But it's much more Mad Men. It's all Mad Men. I don't know.
Yeah, it all is. It's the themes. The theme of Cabana Bay, of course, just it goes over a big gap of time. It's just the one pool has it. It kind of has that more like motel pool vibe to it, whereas it's like it just a stop off on the trip. And then the other pool has that big beach vibe to it.
Yeah.
And so both are great. But yeah, you can't go wrong just trying all of the pools around property, figuring out which the best one is. If you're pool people, that might decide on which hotel you stay at the next time you come. I know that's very important to people. That's why people go insane over the Yacht and Beach Club at Walt Disney World, because they want that pool. That's the only way to have access to that one is to stay at that resort. So if pools are a priority, try them all. Figure out which one you like the best.
Mm-hmm.
But that will take us into what I will call the next three should not be a surprise. Almost so much of a little surprise that we should probably just list them all off at once and have zero explanation for it, but we will give it to you anyways. So number four is Jurassic Park River Adventure.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can you say about this? One of Universal's three major water rides, and...
You're going to get wet.
You're going to get wet, but you have the possibility of escaping this one without getting too drenched. But
does the splash zone there work still too?
Yeah, no, you can still get splashed if you stand close enough to where the wave comes. So if you're afraid of the attraction or you can't go on it for some sort of reason, right where the ride has its big drop that causes the massive splash, there is an area where you can stand and just get soaked as they keep coming down one after the other. But no, for me, in terms of cooling off, I think Jurassic Park River Adventures actually, it's probably the best of the water rides, because it's not just we're going to drench you with water and send you on your way. It's everything about this ride just comes together to cool you off in multiple ways. The queue is buried in the trees, but very shady, and lots of fans, and kind of it helps start to cool you off in that sense. Then the attraction, of course, it starts off as this nice gentle boat ride through Jurassic Park before everything starts going wrong, but it's a very relaxing and soothing ride at first. And then, of course, once you make it into the building and you start climbing up the hill and on your way to the big drop, you know, you get that little break of AC, and then the final drop, you know, depending on how heavy your boat is, where you're sitting at, you could either walk off this thing drenched from head to toe, or you could have just a little splash on you. But I absolutely love Jurassic Park River Adventure of the three water rides. Even though you don't get the most wet on this one, I feel like it is overall just the best attraction from start to finish. But there are two other ones, and the next one we will talk about is at the number three spot, Dudley Do Right's Ripsaw Falls. So, Rhino, can you explain a little bit about what Ripsaw Falls is?
No, I mean, it's a flume ride. So you're in a
there
log,
you go.
And it's essentially this really long flume ride that you're in that you're going to get drenched, like to your underpants drenched. Like it's one of those, like, sometimes the water splashes just up and into the cart, but you've seen it. When you're walking through Islands of Adventure and you're going from the Toon Lagoon area into Jurassic Park, it's in there. It's the one that always makes the whoop noise as you go down, because it's not just like, oh, the flume's dropping you, like on Splash Mountain or Jurassic Park even. It's like it shoots you down. So you go down fast, so you are whipping and splashing. That water's hitting you right in the face. Yeah. I mean, it's essentially like they have dryers outside of the ride that you can pay and stand in, because that's how wet you're going to get.
Exactly. So while you might not have any idea who Dudley Do-Right is,
I mean, I'm familiar with the cartoon character from, like, was he on Bullwinkle?
Rocky and Bullwinkle, yes.
Yeah.
But
the Brendan Fraser masterpiece as well.
Oh, well, of course. And, you know, so you might not be as familiar with the characters for Dudley Do-Right, but this is a very long flume style attraction. As Rhino said, it is very long, and a lot of the times I do have that issue that he just said. The water isn't necessarily getting to me from the drops and the little bits and pieces here and there. It's actually just from these things starting to soak or sink in the water and overflow on top of you. But yeah, we've talked about the water slapping you in the face on the final kind of double dip drop. Oh, sorry about that, everyone. That's what happens when you don't turn off your volume and ads start playing on your computer. But yeah, so it is one heck of a flume style attraction. And, you know, obviously the biggest comparison you have on that is against like Splash Mountain over at Walt Disney World. And while Splash Mountain has that big finale and a couple little drops in between, and, you know, the cool part of that ride is the overarching story as you're going along. That's fun. This one has a story. It's not a great story. It's just a really good attraction.
River Rapid ride.
Yeah. It's just a good flume style ride, and you're gonna get wet on it.
I thought you were moving into the next one.
Splash Mountain is not like the next one we're going to do. Splash Mountain is like Dudley Do Right's Ripsaw Falls.
Yeah,
and I think it's a tight squeeze to get in there. into the logs. They are very constricting, but if you can get in, it is a good way to cool down. And moving on to number two, we'll also talk about that way. The attraction that Rhino was just referencing, this would be very similar to Cali River Rapids at Walt Disney World, but we are talking about Popeye and Bluto's Bilgerat Barges, also in Toon Lagoon.
Hard one to say, yeah.
It is a hard one to say. And it is your standard family river raft ride, but I will say, like, on steroids, essentially.
Oh, yeah, it's intense. I mean, the ride itself isn't intense. It's just essentially the getting wet with water part is intense.
Yeah, there is no limit to how much they just pour water on you in this attraction throughout. There really isn't that much else to say about it than this is the wettest you will get on a Universal Orlando attraction. And sometimes I think it's Dudley Do-Right's, and then I'll go back to Popeye and Bluto's, and it's like, how could I forget that this was this bad? But you know, if that's the way that you cool down, that is the ultimate way that you should, the ultimate attraction that you should be looking for. I cannot say enough good things about it. And you know what? It opens up the conversation of learning about who Popeye is for all you the kids out there.
That makes me sad. Don't say that.
Well, it happens out there.
I don't know how to make the noise, but
all I can do is SpongeBob, which still isn't close enough. But before we move on to our number one, I want to give one honorable mention to something that I thought of in the middle of us recording this. And that is another thing where you can just stay inside. You can't spend a ton of time in here, but it is something that a lot of people don't go into it unless they're going to the restaurant that's also in this area. And that is over at the Jurassic Park Discovery Center. So that is the building which Burger Diggs is located in.
I was thinking, like, there's no water there.
There is no water. It is a good place to cool down.
It is,
because
yes.
Once you go downstairs and you escape the wrath that is Burger Diggs, and you make your way into where the attraction portion of this building is, you'll just find a lot of cool little unique things. So the big one is they have the that they will do the actual egg cracking open and the push little one recreation in there.
Isn't there like a place where you can like warp your DNA with a dinosaur to see what you'd look like too?
If there is, I have never done that, but now I need to go and actually check. So
I thought the last time I was in there was, but I could be getting that confused somewhere else.
No, there absolutely probably is, and I've just never seen it before. But I just, there's not a ton to do in here. It's more for kids than anyone else. But if you just need that, like, if you need that 30 minutes to cool off real quick, just get inside, look for someplace, this is a good thing to do it. I mean, you can argue that you can get in any queue for a ride, and you know, eventually you'll get in a building and then you'll cool off there. But let's be real. We all know what it happens when you wait in a line. People get too close to each other. The body heat starts to rise up. Eventually someone farts in line and it just ruins it for everyone.
Farter.
And so this is a place where you have room to stretch out and just relax a little bit more. So we are going to end this list, of course, with number one. And Rhino, what has to be number one?
Oh, you
this
know
summer?
What it's got to be. It's got to be Volcano Bay.
Yeah. No,
come on.
Without a doubt. So, of course, Volcano Bay opens up on May 25th.
So excited. It's like, what is that, 2 weeks from now?
It's, like 17 days from now.
Yeah.
Oops, that just gave away the day we're recording this.
Yeah, I was going to say two weeks from Thursday.
2 weeks from now. Yeah, there we go. Volcano Bay will be opening up. Hopefully everything opens up with it on time. I know they are like they are stretching to the last second to get this thing ready. They've already invited press. So it has to be done. We'll see how that winds up. But obviously, it's going to be a water theme park. I'm still sticking by that one. I know I almost said water park, but it's still going to be a water theme park. There's going to be 20 different attractions while you're there to go on from the
20.
Yeah, 20 total. So, I mean, that's considering like the wave pool is an attraction. The lazy river is an attraction.
I'm still impressed.
Tiki Reef, a bunch of different slides. Of course, the Krakatoa Aqua Coaster, which is going to be the main attraction of the entire place. There's just going to be so much to do at Volcano Bay and so much to see. Not even talking about the food, the dining, all of that. Just the slides in general. You know, being immersed in that atmosphere. I believe they just recently started running the water on the volcano.
I still haven't caught it yet.
I know they tested it before. They were testing it, but I believe now it's going to start be at the point where it's just going to be running up until the opening. I'm sure they'll have to shut it down here and there. But
I drove by it yesterday. I was commenting to Eli where I was like, I wonder how many car accidents this is going to cause as soon as this starts happening. Because it's, unfortunately, right where you can start to see the volcano is also a very bad area of I-4 that always congests because there's an exit on both sides of the highway.
It is. And I'm going to tell a quick story here. I don't know if I should be telling it at all because it came from one of my friends who has a little bit of inside information. But apparently, the day, I think I was there the day they shot off the volcano for the first time. But obviously that kind of the same reason you just said with like I-4 being right there and seeing the volcano, all that stuff. Apparently the first time they did fire off the volcano,
there was an accident
there. There almost was an accident, I guess. They just shot off way too much water out of the volcano and it actually did impact I-4 because of it. So, but it's so hard to tell on I-4. There's always traffic.
I honestly, they're widening the lanes by like 5 lanes on either side, and I still don't think that's going to solve the problem because you can't solve the problem of bad drivers.
Exactly.
So I think no matter what happens, something's going to happen. When the helicopter does the thing where it lands, you know what I mean?
Everyone
there's the helicopter
just stops.
Tours.
Yeah.
You got to put on your brakes, pull your camera out, and Florida, the one place where people will come to a complete stop on a highway just so they can make a turn or do whatever.
Hey,
it's ridiculous.
You preach into the choir here. I have to
We're
face
survivors.
This stuff too. We are survivors, and we should get a medal every time we survive a day in Orlando. But Volcano Bay, it's going to be great. You know, we saw some construction photos of it. We've seen the construction progress. Some of the Dreams agents were able to send us some even more up-to-date construction photos a couple weeks back and got to see what it looks like. Still very heavy under construction, but it's shaping up to be beautiful. I know we're both very excited to get in there and actually experience Volcano Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be number one way to cool down this summer. Everyone who's going to Universal this summer is going to want to be going to Volcano Bay. So that is our list of the top 10 things you can do to cool down at Universal Orlando this summer. So, of course, we want you all to let us know what you think the best ways are to cool down. If we missed any in your list, in our list that you have in your list, please, either if you're watching this on YouTube, comment below. If you are listening to this and you want to send us an email about it, uopodcast@disunplug.com. If you forget that, head to disunplug.com. That is the home of our show notes page where you can find any information on this show that you might need or any of the other shows on the Diz Unplugged podcast network, including the contact information and stuff. So head out to disunplugged.com for that. And, well, thank you, Rhino, for sitting here and having that conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty intriguing.
I want to go swimming now.
Yeah. Yes. That's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. We will be back with you again next week. But until then, remember, no resolutions and stop eating my sesame cakes.
Stop eating my sesame cakes.
See you guys.